Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Director Edward Berger's sensational film All Quiet on the Western Front won 4 Oscars last year. He's also directed Deutschland 83, a superb spy series set in the Cold War of his native Germany. And his new film has all the buzz in the right places. It's an adaptation of Robert Harris's political thriller Conclave. It's a twisty story. It looks gorgeous. It stars Ralph Fiennes acting his Beretta off with Stanley Tucci, Isabella Rossellini and John Lithgow in support as well. It opens in Irish cinemas on Friday and Edward Berger is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you very much, and congratulations on this amazing film, which keeps us on the edge of our seats, even though I had read the book and you still managed to ramp up the tension. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to set this story why did you decide to make a movie about papal politics, essentially?
Well, it felt like a movie about politics, but in a setting, and so that was interesting to me. You know, there's a seat of power, mm-hmm. and that is suddenly vacant, and then a whole bunch of people are going to get out their knives and try to stab each other back, vying for that throne. So trying to stab each other in the back, trying to vie for that throne. And so that's always an interesting dynamic, no matter where it happens, in Washington, D.C., in Dublin, or in the Vatican. In the Vatican, we really haven't seen it, what really goes on there. And so I thought it was a really interesting setting.
It is extraordinary because it's completely secret, this election, the conclave, and there's a thrilling drama around electing a pope. We know the story of Robert Harris's. What was your version of the story about? What did you want to kind of focus in on?
Well, besides, you know, being a great thriller, what I was really interested in, there was one line in the script that Peter Strawn wrote where it said, "The crooked timber of humanity, out of the crooked timber of humanity, no straight thing was ever made." Mm. And that is sort of, every character is sort of crooked inside and has these, sins or pasts or past mistakes that they regret. And even cardinals, they're just like us. And that was interesting to me, but especially Ralph Fiennes has this wonderful inner journey of doubt. He's a doubting cardinal. He doesn't quite know if he should be there. He has difficulty. Just imagine he has difficulty with prayer, he says. And that's almost like you would be saying, you know, I have difficulty believing in the words I'm saying, you know, or in the interviews I'm doing. Basically, everything you're doing is kind of, you question it. And that's what he's going through. And that was a really existential crisis that I thought would make a great, riveting character, and one that all of us can identify with, because we go through that ourselves all the time.
The sense of doubt.
Absolutely. I mean, I have it. I don't know if you do, but
I certainly do. But I don't expect a director.
When I pick a movie, I think is this the right one? Should I be doing this? Where should I put the camera? Yeah. All these things. All these decisions that you, because there's no recipe, you know, there's no straightforward path to making a good movie. You never know if it's going to be good. You never know if the audience is going to embrace it. And so you kind of, even if you are sure, you're kind of 51% sure, because it could be the other way around too.
Do you still have doubts about it now?
It's always nice when it lands with the audience. And so that is kind of a relief. But by now it doesn't really belong to me anymore. Now it belongs to the audience.
I was wondering how a director, that you could go from the sweeping cinematic scale of war to this drama that's taking place in just a couple of rooms in the Vatican. And as an audience, we kind of feel locked into the story as well. That's how you've locked into that whole conclave. That's the way you've directed it.
Yeah. Well, that was the attraction behind it. You go from this, first of all, you know, I had a great crew in the mud, in the cold, in the Czech Republic, filming a war movie. And then I kind of said, guys, next time we're going to go to Rome, you know, and be a little bit more comfortable and have great food. But no, the main thing is that it's a challenge, you know, it feels the other way around from All Quiet. It feels like the opposite thing, something that you haven't done before, that you don't quite know how to do. And this being locked in based on dialogue rather than action was a great challenge to me, and so I wanted to try that, a war inside, basically.
The Vatican, as we know, and I think half of Ireland has probably been to the Vatican at some point in their lives. It's a place of great opulence, displays of wealth, and so on. But the rooms in your drama are nearly bureaucratic. They remind me of the rooms of East Berlin, that, as you portrayed it in the Deutschland 83, that this is where power happens in very dull-looking places sometimes.
That's interesting. Well, if you Google the Casa Santa Marta, where basically the hotel where the cardinals are staying in Rome, it is quite bland. It's actually so ugly that I didn't want to rebuild it, and I thought mine has to look better, But I did want to build. I did want to stress the fact that they're locked away for 2 weeks, trying to elect a new pope. So I kind of designed that hotel like a jail. It feels like Rafe is locked inside his room. All you hear is a neon light, that fluorescent light that hums over his bed and his breath. And then by the end, like he's released into freedom again, and hopefully the audience gets that sense of freedom. But very often those back corridors of power, I'm interested in it. Also hotels, how does it look behind the front? Restaurants, how does it look in the kitchen? Same in the Vatican. What does the kitchen of the Vatican look? It's going to look like a traditional kitchen that it has to cook for 300 people.
Did you have to, obviously none of it can be shot in the Vatican because of the source material and so on. So you rebuild quite a lot, particularly the Sistine Chapel. I mean, that's a really impressive set.
Yes, we rebuilt that. We had a wonderful studio outside of Rome called Cinecittà, where Fellini already shot his movies. And so we built the Sistine Chapel there, supervised by the ghost of Fellini. And right next door, we built the Casa Santa Marta, those bland corridors that you mentioned.
Did you go to the Vatican itself a couple of times?
Oh yeah, and you know what was strange? Just before we started shooting, Pope Benedict died, and was actually, it felt like very sort of relevant to our experience and to the world, of course. But yeah, I spent a long time in the Vatican doing a lot of tourism, basically looking around, soaking it up, looking around, feeling how it looks, being in the Sistine Chapel at 6 a.m.
Oh,
when it was
wow.
still empty, and soaking that in as well.
What did that feel like?
Oh, wonderful! So actually, you can kind of do a private tour, and before it opens, you can sneak in and have a look, and it's great when it's empty.
Because you have a lot of fun with the kind of dramatic ceremony of the way they literally cast their votes in the locked-in Sistine Chapel, when it comes down to that moment of deciding the fate, I suppose, of the Catholic faithful around the world.
Yes, I mean, I was terrified. I had about six elections, six votes, six casting of votes to film, and that can very easily get repetitive. And I was terrified of that I would get repetitive. So I wanted to make sure that they all feel different and tense and full of looks among the competitors, and that there's a progression to that story as the candidates fall away.
And the lovely contrast behind all the ceremony of just cardinals in their full rig out, having a smoke or vaping.
Yeah, I love the when you wake up in Rome and making this movie, you look out the window with your espresso, and you look downstairs, and there's a nun having a coffee in the corner, and two priests smoking in that doorway, and an archbishop rushing with his briefcase to across the yard there, and you realize it's just people going to work, they're like you and I. And I wanted to put that modernity into the movie, iPhones and vapes and cigarettes and modernity and weaknesses that we all have in the day of, and so that is a very big element of the film. Even the Pope ends up in a plastic body bag, I guess, in the back of an ambulance, like all of us.
That's in the very opening scenes, and how mundane death can be. But also the kind of the modern versus the kind of antiquated dress is fascinating, because that's the heart of the story, isn't it? This tug between one cardinal who wants to pull the church kind of back to the Dark Ages, and the more liberal version played by Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, we tried to find equivalents of our daily lives in this You know, as much as the church lives in its own world, it's not going to live in a bubble. You know, they're also going to be influenced by the political tug of war that goes on in the secular society, and we are influenced by the Vatican, and so we all influence each other. So we wanted to represent whatever we feel is going on in our daily lives, in world politics, in American politics, in European politics, and we wanted to represent that discourse, that disagreement, that opposition in different cardinals in their debates that they have,
So it's the
so that
wider world.
you feel you recognize your own life in it, you know, that it's not some strange, it's an interesting setting, but you will recognize a lot of things that you know from your own life, I think.
Has working on the film changed your perception of the Catholic Church?
No, not really. I was very interested in the rituals and the theatricality of it ever since I was raised Protestant, and I remember going to a church with my friend, to a Catholic church, the first time when I was 9, and constantly being caught out. Oh my God, they're kneeling. Oh, they're doing the sign of the cross. Oh no, I have to go up front. I always thought like I did something wrong, because there's so many rituals that I didn't know about. And so getting to know those rituals, those secret rituals, I felt was wonderful. But it had me thinking a lot about the movie had me thinking a lot about religion and faith, and because that's what it's also about. And I'm not a person who goes to church a lot, and especially not the Catholic Church, because I'm not part of it. But I'm always interested in it. But making the movie, I thought, what if we didn't have it? You know, what if we didn't have, you know, those that element of our lives? You know, there was be we'd be kind of, you know, we wouldn't have culture or history or tradition or identity. You know, we even if we don't go, it influences the way we live, and so it is an important part of our lives. You know, and I think it's an important pillar of our lives.
Well, the film comes out on Friday, and there's lots of Oscar talk about it. You were involved in the politics of Oscar season, indeed, another political thriller, and you beat a beloved Irish film in 2020 on Colleen Kuhn.
Oh yes, I'm so sorry. It's a wonderful director, Colm Baird, and who made a great film, and I felt very guilty holding
Oh,
or
good.
getting the
Guilt
Oscar.
is very important when it comes to dealing with that.
Yeah.
And you made up for it by casting an Irish character with an Irish actor, Breon F. O'Byrne, whose every appearance in the film actually heralds a new twist. So he got a very good role. So.
Oh, he's got a wonderful role, and also he brings a lightness to the movie. Whenever he comes, I start smiling, and hopefully the audience starts smiling. You know, there's a little waft of humor and lightness in it that keeps the film light on its feet, that doesn't make it too heavy. You know, we didn't want to make a heavy Catholic drama. That this is not what it is. You know,
No, it
it's an
flies by.
entertaining political movie.
Yeah, it flies by, and that music is really, it's a wonderful film, Edward Berger. So congratulations, and
Oh,
thanks
thank you.
for sharing our conversation this morning, because we don't always hear from directors of big Oscar-nominated movies. Edward Berger, and Conclave opens this Friday. Good day to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.